Welcome to Sunday morning teaching from Canaan Land Church in Grove City with Pastor Sean. We're so glad you've joined us today. Now, let's open our Bibles and study God's Word together.
Psalm 42, again, going to read verse 5, just one verse this morning. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Listen close now. David says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" You ever been there?
Yeah.
"Why art thou disquieted in me?" You ever been there? Look at what he says. This is the key. When you feel that way, when you think that way, when things are going that way, here's the answer, church. Hope thou in God.
Amen.
That's so sweet, I'll say it again.
Yeah.
No matter what you're going through, there's hope in the Lord this morning. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. God will help me this morning. I want to preach on what I personally have described this chapter as, what I call the list. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your Spirit, God. Lord, I just personally want to thank you that my grandson got to hear his great-grandfather and grandmother sing this morning. Lord, that is sweet to my soul. God, I love you today. And Lord, we thank you for your presence here this morning. God, for what you continue to do in the lives of our people in our church. God, the stir that you have within this place. God, you know what you're doing. And God, we thank you. And God, above all things, Lord, we want to make it known this morning, if someone's visiting or watching online, God, it is you and not us today. Lord, we pray, God, that your presence continue to be with us. Lord, you know, God, what you've placed on my heart. God, I pray we have a clear understanding today of what the psalmist is saying. And God, we can walk away and apply this to our lives. Lord, give us an altar call, God. Lord, let people seriously today box everything out and look at where the psalmist is and what's going on, Lord, and what we're called to do. Let us respond to what you say, Lord. And we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of God's people this morning said, amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. I told you it's David the psalmist that's writing this. Now some people, if you have a headline under Psalm 42, it says, "To the chief musician, Maskell, for the sons of Korah." Some say the sons of Korah wrote this. I'm of the understanding, and you understand what I mean when we get into this, that this is David that gave it to the sons of Korah to be sung as praise and worship in the house of God. Now, when you get to this place and you see that this could be David, I read you one verse and we'll walk through it. In verse 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me?" David's literally saying here, why is there turmoil going on inside of me? And he goes on and says, "Hope thou in God, for I shall again, that's what he's saying. Meaning, it may be rough now, but I know this, there's coming a day again where I'm going to get the worship and praise the Lord. Now understand, verse 11 in this text says the same thing. Now what I want to make known to you is regularly known as Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 were known as one psalm until we did our chapters and verses. So if you take that into account, when you get into Psalm 43, you'll notice at the end of it in verse 5 that David says what we read in verse 5 of 42 and verse 11 of 42. David says yet again at the end of this song or this psalm or poem that David's writing, he says the exact same thing yet a third time. So when he says this, whenever he's going through something, he reverts back to this. When his soul is low and when there's turmoil going on, he keeps reminding himself, just hope in God. He just doesn't say it one time or two times. If you put those psalms together, he says it three different times. So hope in God is the theme of this psalm. Now when everything is good and well in your life, you won't look to these psalms, will you? When everything's good in our life, we use this motto, well, I'm just living in the moment. What we mean by that is everything's great. I don't have nothing to worry about. But when you read this psalm, you quickly realize that David is in a completely different place. And don't you love it how God coordinates things together? If you heard Brother Bruce's testimony, he said, I was dry for so long. And this is literally what I wrote down. Perhaps this is the best way to describe David in this psalm. Are you ready? Is that he was dried out. Think of that. I got it written down here. I didn't call Bruce either. Now look at this. When he says in verse 1, as a deer panteth for the water, he's literally saying, Lord, like a man desperate for water. You know what that's like this morning? To be desperate for water when we find ourselves in a dry place or a dry season or a dry time. What that means when a preacher says that is you're low on energy. Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Everything is flat. Nothing excites you like it used to. And your laughter is at maybe a bare minimum. And the Bible says here in Psalm 42 and 43, through the psalmist that dry times will come. And for the Christian, when these dry times come, here's what we often do. We believe if we just read more of our Bible or if we pray more. Listen, I'm not against any of that. I would encourage that as a pastor. But what you'll find today is just because you read more and you pray more doesn't mean that God's going to change things quicker. All right? So what's going on in this psalm is David is giving us a glimpse of what it means to have hope. You ever been there and you say, well, I just need to read more of my Bible. And nothing jumps off the page. You make a greater effort, but there seems to be no progress. That's what Brother Bruce was talking about, being in a dry time. That's where David is in this psalm. So when you read verse 1, you see how David loves God. You see how he wants more of God. But the problem is, David tells us in this psalm, the more I want you, Lord, the farther away you seem to be. Yes. Boy, that'll preach. Amen. So I call this the list for a reason. There's seven descriptions here that David experienced. Seven symptoms that the psalm exposes on this list. The first thing it exposes is in verse 1 and 2, David feels dry. In verse 3, he is tearful. He literally says his tears are his food, meaning I have lost my appetite. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. I can't even eat. He's downcast in verse 5 and verse 11. He is in turmoil, verse 5 and verse 11. His stomach is churning. He's overwhelmed in verse 7. What lies ahead makes him feel sick. The fifth thing, he feels forgotten in verse 9. The second part of verse 9, he's in mourning. This word clearly indicates that David is experiencing something. And then the last thing on the list is he was oppressed. The oppression of the enemy in verse 3 and verse 10. And when you put all these together, the list that I call it, finds a man that is dry and tearful and doubtful and downcast, in turmoil, feeling forgotten. He's in mourning and he's oppressed. So understand this morning that this is from a man who truly loved the Lord. This is from a man who served the Lord. This is from a man who the Bible says was a man after God's own heart. Think of that. And here he is. And this raises the question, can a faithful believer experience such things in their life when they are saved? I'll keep waiting till the rest of you figure it out. Can a Christian feel these seven symptoms on that list? Can a Christian go through all of these troubles and trials that are on this list in Psalms? Have you ever been through those? You ever been there? Maybe you're there right now. No need to hide. No need to be afraid. We're in the house of God. We're in the presence of God. You can, listen, I'm getting ahead of myself. Listen to me. You may be experiencing one of those. You may have it being heaped on you and experiencing all of those. Can a Christian experience all those at one time, Sean? You better believe you can, because the psalmist says, this is what I'm going through right now, the man after God's own heart. So even the strongest believers may have to endure what David is describing here. J.I. Packer, great author. I love reading his books. And his book, Knowing God, listen to what he says. He talks about the dangers, as he calls it, and playing down the challenges of the Christian life. The danger of giving the impression, this is what he means by that, that when you get saved, problems no longer exist. Listen now. And if they come, you just take them to the throne of grace and they'll immediately be gone. Has it ever worked that way for you? You must be holier than me. Doesn't work that way, does it? I'm just preaching into my heart today. They're not immediately gone. Listen, church, this is exactly where David is. I've got these lists of problems, and when I need you the most, you seem the farthest away. Lord, when I needed you, Lord, I can't sense your presence. Right here are verses we can relate to. So the list, as I call it, what we've done right now, we've exposed the symptoms. Now, what is the cause? The psalm makes it clear. David was what I would call in a hostile environment. Verse 3 and 10, he's being oppressed by his adversary, his enemies. And verse 3 and verse 10 show us this. He's saying, the enemy's saying this in verse 10. Where is your God? Where is he? Oh, you talk about him all the time. Well, now that you're in trouble, seems like he don't even know who you are. That's what the enemy will tell you. Where's your God? He'll taunt you with that. Where is God? That is what lost people, that is what our flesh, that is what the world, listen to me, that is what the devil will ask you. Where are you, Lord? Where is your God? Maybe you've experienced that. That over the time in your life, opposition has become relentless. What I mean by that is this. When you try and do your best for the Lord and you try to push forward for the Lord, it seems like the world just throws it back in your face. And then what happens is this. It happens so much and so often, and that list just bombards you to where it wears you down. Wears you out. Where is God? And this psalm gives us the inclination that David's experienced these constant questions, and it has wore him out. But do you know David's not the only one that faced that? Do you know Jesus Christ faced that as well? Do you remember when he's on the cross and they said he saved all these other people? They're taunting him. Let him what? Save himself. If he's the king of the Jews, what can this king do? Let God deliver him if he wants to. And David, just like the Lord, endured this. And in verse 4, David dealt with what I would describe as great loss. Verse 4 in Psalm 42, he says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude, and I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept holy day. Now, when you look at this, David's describing what he used to be able to do.
Yeah.
Now we're getting to the cause. We know the symptoms. We know the list. But here's the cause. David's saying these festivals that he's referring to, they're going on in Jerusalem, and he used to be a part of that, but he's in a place in the land of Jordan or Hermon in verse 6, and these are miles away from Jerusalem. So here's what David's saying. Not only am I oppressed by this list, but I can't do what I used to love to do. I'm going to ask you a question. You remember when you first got saved? Those that are saved, you remember when you first got saved, how fired up and excited you were, and how you loved doing things in the house of God. And as time goes on, you don't do as much as you used to do, some because we can't, not because we don't want to, but we can't do what we used to. I'm not talking about that. It's you could do it. You just don't do it anymore, and you find yourself on the outside looking in, and you remember what it used to be when you were in there serving the Lord in His presence, and you long to be in that place, but you're just not there anymore. That's what happens when the list comes. When you're bombarded and you're worn down. The joy that used to be is no longer. Now, that's not easy to stomach, is it? When you cannot do what was a joy and a blessing, what it used to be. And in our lives that are constantly changing, in a world, listen, that's constantly changing, what David is expressing to us when this list comes, we need this unchanging God. We need Him to guide us. To lead us through when we're bombarded by the list. Jesus in His ministry, He found a delight in blessing and doing what He was called to do. Listen to what He says in John 4. He says, my meat or my food is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Meaning what was nourishing to Christ was quickly taken away. What is He talking about? He's going to the cross and the disciples abandon Him. The darkness is oppressing Him. The enemy is surrounding Him and coming to Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And He's so oppressed, He sweats great drops of blood. And He says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. He's overwhelmed because He can't do what He used to do. And He knows the time has come. That's what I'm talking about. So when we say, well, I don't think the Lord understands. Wrong. Wrong. Everything on that list, the Lord went through. You hear me? Not just David. Not just Isaiah. Not just others in Scripture. The Lord Himself. So we do not serve a Savior that we can go to and say, you just don't understand. That's unbiblical. Now look at it with me here. He's overwhelmed. The biggest problem on top of that, when you read this psalm, I think this is the one that'll get me from time to time. David felt distant from the voice of God. I preached on it a couple months ago on a Wednesday night. You know what God's laid on my heart? I think I'm going to preach it again on a Sunday morning. When you're trying to do what you believe God's called you to do, and you just don't feel the voice of God. And you get in that place where that list is just bombarding you and things are coming in. And where's your God now? And I feel so dry and I feel overwhelmed. My stomach's turning inside. I can't do what I want to do or I used to do. God, where are you? That's where David is in this song. David's saying, God, you seem farther away when it seems like I need you the most. There was a minister in the 16th century. He coined this phrase that David felt, that I believe Christ felt, and that I know I have felt. He called it, listen, the dark night of the soul. And Isaiah's talking about this in Isaiah 45. Isaiah, literally, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, truly, you are a God who hides Himself. Here's what they all mean. I'm looking for you, Lord, But it seems like the harder I look, the farther away you hide yourself. So why in my moment that I need you, Lord, would you hide from me? Isn't that concerning, Christian? A lot of people say, well, you can't be a Christian if you feel that. Wrong. Listen to me today. This can be the experience of a godly person. See, I showed you where Christ endured this. The psalmist Isaiah, they wrote about this. Even Jesus on the cross, what did he say? My God, my God, why hast thou what? Forsaken me. So this psalm, it helps expose this list that David writes about. And the cause that lays behind these experiences. So we know the list, the symptoms. Here's the cause. It can be a hostile culture that can wear you down. It can be the loss of a role that we loved or used to do. It can be the feeling of God being far away when we need Him close at the toughest time. So these were what Jesus and David and maybe even you have experienced. But despite all that David was enduring, he is moved by the Holy Spirit to write about what? Hope in God. He goes through verses 1 through 4. Then it's like he remembers and verse 5 pops in and the Holy Spirit says, don't you forget, we have hope in the Lord. Yeah, and he writes it down. Verse 5 and verse 11, Psalm 43 verse 5, we see all of these things that when it seems like we're being bombarded the most, you have to remember as a child of God. And David says, stir up the gift that's within you that what? No matter what comes, there is hope in the Lord this morning. And he keeps saying it over and over. So let's look at what I call four ways that you, Christian, can respond to the list. Now, I want to say this, and I want to preface this before we even get started. Before you talk to God about the list, you need to know God.
Amen.
Okay? You've got to know the Lord. Well, what does that mean? You a sinner? Yes, I'm a sinner. He died on the cross for your sins. Do you believe that? Yes. His shed blood, listen, removes the penalty of sin, spiritually speaking. And you now can be called a child of God. So if you haven't done that, do that today. And I'm going to tell you why. But if you've done that and you say, yes, Sean, I've checkmarked it off. Yes, the list is real. I've faced it. Yes, that's the cause. I know what's going on. That's the symptoms. Yes, checkbox. I'm a child of God. I've been here just like David. I've checked all the boxes. Listen close to me this morning. Four ways you respond when anything or everything is on that list. Responding to the list. First of all, when that list oppresses you, when you feel dry, you know what you can go to the Lord and say? Lord, I feel absolutely oppressed. Hey, here's what I mean by that. Let me say this. When you go to the Lord and you agree that a person can face all of these things just like David did, and you know that you're in the presence of God, you can be 100% honest with the Lord.
Amen.
You know why I love talking to the Lord? Because that's the safest place I can be. You hear me? He don't chastise me. He don't bombard me with this or that. Or you did that, you should have done that. He's a heavenly Father that listens to his child. And if I'm 100% honest with my heavenly Father, he's going to help me get through it.
Amen.
Always told my kids that. You be 100% honest with me, we'll find a resolve here. So that's the first thing. Go to him and be honest with him. You know why? It's pretty simple. He already knows anyway. This ain't in my notes, but I want to ask this question. I know the answer. Your kid ever told you a story that you knew wasn't true?
Amen.
Oh, Lord. David's looking over at his mom. Know what I'm talking about? Gonna have chocolate and lead a Sunday school class. Got chocolate on your face. I didn't do it. How can you talk to a child that won't be open and honest with you? That's all he's wanting in this hostile culture. In this world that just permeated with ungodliness, he knows you and I. He knows each one of us. He knows all of us completely. So as a Christian, there is freedom, in my estimation, when you come to the Lord in every circumstance. And that's what David does. This psalm is a pouring out of his soul in the presence, listen, of God. Not in the presence of Sean. Not in the presence of the music leader. This is God's house. Yeah. Yeah. What you do here is between you and the Lord. Yeah. In the presence of God, pour out your soul. So that's the first thing, but it's not the only thing. Second thing is challenge yourself. Yeah. That's what we don't do. We've taught a whole generation to not take blame for anything. Oh, did I hit a nerve there? Huh? It's not their fault. They didn't do nothing wrong. Can't be them. Listen, if you're going to have hope in the Lord that is growing and not falling into hopelessness, not only do we cry out to God, we challenge ourselves. Look at verse 5 again. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Now, if you'll notice in this verse, the psalmist is not speaking to God. Did you catch it? He's speaking to who? He's talking to himself. Do it all the time. Best conversation of the day. Amen?
Amen.
He is addressing his own soul. Isn't that interesting? He's speaking to himself. Listen to what a preacher I heard talk about this. He said it this way. He said most of our unhappiness in life, listen, is from listening to ourselves rather than talking to ourselves.
Thanks for joining us this morning. We hope you have been challenged, inspired, and found hope in today's message from Pastor Sean. If you have questions about our church, we hope you will reach out to us at canaanland.church. If you join us at the church for our weekly service, please make sure to say hello to Pastor Sean, and we look forward to seeing you soon.